So we are very happy to be back here in Kaunas, Lithuania. But actually, this is not Kaunas, Lithuania. This is Krishna Loka. So it's nice to be back here in Krishna Loka, all of you devotees. Today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Fourth canto, chapter number 24, text number 71. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Yoga adesham upasadya dharayanta munivrata samahita dhiya sarve etat abhyasata adrita yoga desham upasadya dharayanto munivrata samahita dhiya sarva etad abhyasatadrita yoga desham upasajya dharayanto munivrata samahita dhiya sarva etad abhyasatadrita. Yoga adesham. This instruction of bhakti yoga. Upasajya. Constantly reading. Dharayanta. And taking within the heart.
И принимая в сердце.
Munivrata. Just take the vow of the great sages.
Дайте обет великих мудрецов, обет молчания.
The vow of silence.
Обет молчания.
Samahita. Always fixed in the mind.
Всегда держа ум сосредоточенным.
Дия. With intelligence.
Разумом.
Sarve. All of you.
Все вы.
Этат. This.
Это.
Абьясата. Practice.
Делайте.
Adrita, with great reverence. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada. My dear princes, in the form of a prayer, I have delineated the yoga system of chanting the holy name. All of you should take this important stotra within your minds and promise to keep it in order to become great sages. By acting silently like a great sage and by giving attention and reverence, you should practice this method, purport. In the Hatha Yoga system, One has to perform bodily exercises, dhyana, dharana, asana, meditation, etc. One has to sit in one place in a particular posture and concentrate his gaze on the tip of the nose. There are so many rules and regulations for the Hatha Yoga system that it is practically impossible to perform it in this age. The alternative system of Bhakti Yoga is very easy, not only in this age, but in others as well. For this yoga system was advocated long ago by Lord Shiva when he advised the princes, the sons of Maharaj Prachinabharashat. The Bhakti Yoga system is not newly introduced, for even 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna recommended this Bhakti Yoga as the topmost yoga. As Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita 6:47, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena tadatmana shadhavan bhajate yomang same yukta samomata. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. The topmost yogi is he who constantly thinks of Krishna within himself and chants the glories of the Lord. In other words, this system of bhakti yoga has been existing from time immemorial and is now continuing in this Krishna consciousness movement. The word munivrata is significant in this regard, because those who are interested in advancing in spiritual life must be silent. Silent means talking only of Krishna Katha. This is the silence of Maharaj Ambarish. Savai mana Krishna padaravindayor vachangshi vaikunta gunanu varnane. King Ambarish always fixed his mind in the lotus feet of the Lord and talked of him only, Bhagavatam 9:4:19. We should also take this opportunity in life to become as good as a great sage, simply by not talking unnecessarily with unwanted persons. We should either talk of Krishna or chant Hare Krishna undeviatingly. This is called Muni Vrat. The intelligence must be very sharp, Samahita Diya, and should always be acting in Krishna consciousness. The words etad abhyasadadita indicate that if one takes these instructions from a spiritual master with great reverence, adrita, and practices them accordingly, he will find this bhakti yoga process to be very, very easy.
Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Balakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Sadaita Savaduta Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhandvitamscha.
So, Samahita Dhiya. One's intelligence must be very sharp. Prabhupada always used to say, don't be dull-headed. One time, when Mataji, she wrote Prabhupada many, many questions about Tulsi Devi. And Prabhupada answered her questions very patiently. But one question he wasn't very pleased with. He didn't answer it. He said, ask somebody that has common sense. So sometimes we don't even have common sense in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we're just like a dumb stone. At least we should try to have some just plain old Lithuanian common sense, if nothing else. And use that for Krishna, you see. And then, by hearing Bhagavatam, by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, by taking hot milk, you will get sharper intelligence, you see. And gradually we can develop sharp intelligence, you see. So we can do everything expertly. We won't have to keep making one stupid mistake after another stupid mistake. It takes time, you know. Because we're polluted by all of our contact with the modes of nature. But if we patiently follow the path of bhakti, gradually the clouds of maya will dissipate from our hearts and we will become sharp in intelligence. Fixed in bhakti. Another nice point that Prabhupada is making. How to become as good as a great sage. So, if you're as good as a great saint, that means you're a great saint, actually. So, how does one become as good as a great saint? By not talking nonsense. By only talking about Krishna. Or chanting Hare Krishna. And if there's not a suitable opportunity to chant Hare Krishna or talk about Krishna, you just don't talk, that's all. It's not that we have to keep jabbering 24 hours a day, you see. Prabhupada sometimes would just sit in complete silence, you see. Sometimes he would speak very animatedly, very enthusiastically speaking on the morning walks. Sometimes he wouldn't say a word. Not that one has to keep talking with some nervous energy, talk. Srila Prabhupada gives an example in the light of the Bhagavat. It's given there in that light of the Bhagavat, it's from the description of autumn chapter of the Krishna book, Bhagavatam, 10th canto.
Pirmas pavyzdys aprašytas Bhagavatam, 10th skyriaus studijoje, pavadintas rudenio prašymu.
It's described there how there are rivers that during the rainy season they are flowing profusely with water.
Ir ten aprašoma, kad upės lietaus sezono metu jos labai plūdo labai daug vandens.
And during the dry season there are no water then, just okay. They're completely dry riverbed, you see.
Okay, ten sausasis sezonas jos praktiškai išdžiūsta.
So Prabhupada gives the example, these are like the great reformers. Those who can reform the society, spiritual revolutionaries, you see.
Jis sako, kad tai yra panašu kaip į didžiuosius vadovus, kurie gali padaryti.
Those persons who have a powerful impact to reform or to revolutionize the human society, they are like those rivers.
Ir tos asmenybės, kurios gali pakeisti visuomenę, padaryti dvasinę revoliuciją, yra kaip tos upės.
Sometimes they speak.
Kartais jie kalba.
And sometimes they are silent.
O kartais tyli.
It's not that they have to keep talking to have an impact.
Tam, kad turėtų įtaką, jiems nebūtina visada kalbėti.
Even their very silence has an impact.
Net tylėdami jie turi įtaką, gali.
In fact, I remember one of my godbrothers, he was explaining that when he grew up, and his mother would chastise him for doing something wrong, you see.
Vienas mano dvasinis brolis pasakoma kartą, kad kada jis augo, kartais mama jį bardo už tai, kad jis pridėjo.
But when she was silent, when she didn't say anything,
bet kai jinai tylėdavo ir nieko nesakydavo,
that was the heaviest chastisement of all.
Tai būdavo pati didžiausia bausmė.
So in this way, the great personalities, whether they speak, whether they don't speak,
tokiu būdu, didžios asmenybės, arba jie kalba, arba
tyli. These great saints have a very powerful impact on the world.
Ir šitos didžios šventos asmenybės turi didžiulę įtaką pasaulyje.
And Prabhupada wants us to become such great saints.
Ir Prabhupada nori, kad mes taip pat taptume tokiais didžiais šventaisiais.
He wants each and every one of us sitting in this room here today to become great saints.
Ir jis nori, kad kiekvienas ir visi sėdintys šiame kambaryje šiandien tokiais taptų.
Doesn't matter who you are or what you are.
Nesvarbu, nei kuo jūs esate, nei kas jūs esate.
Whether you're male, female,
ar jūs vyras ar moteris,
young, old,
senas ar jaunas,
single, married, divorced, whatever you may be.
Išsiskyręs, vedęs ar vienišius.
Everyone in this Hare Krishna movement is meant to become a great saint.
Kiekvienas Hare Krishna judėjimo narys privalo tapti didžiu šventuoju.
By always talking about Krishna or chanting Hare Krishna. Or by being quiet. That's all. Much chitta mangata prana bodhiyantak parasparam. Tayantashtamam yitam tashyanti charamanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered unto me. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So if you tell somebody about Krishna, you are enlightening them. So devotees enlighten each other. I enlighten you, you enlighten me. In this way they reciprocate, enlightening each other by filling each other's ears with Krishna katha. I remember back in my brahmachari days, when I was traveling with His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami, we had a big party, very nice party. We were traveling all over the East Coast of the US. But I found one god brother, his name was Baba Bhuti Prabhu. He is now deceased. He has departed. He is no longer on this planet. He left. But he and I like to talk about Krishna. So we made a deal that every time it was prasadam, we would just sit together and talk about Krishna while we took prasadam. So it was very enlivening. We were Krishna Katha buddies. And we would just fill each other's ears with nectar while we were taking prasadam into our mouth, we were also putting prasadam into our ears. So the prasadam time became a great festival of transcendental bliss. Prasadam in the mouth, prasadam in the ears, you see. So the more you can vibrate Krishna Katha, you see, that means you're putting prasadam in the ears of the other devotees. And your ears too, because when you speak, you will hear yourself speaking. So, Prabhupada very much emphasized this prasadam distribution. Because he wants that everyone should get prasadam. Just like that very nice sweet, Simply Wonderfuls. Do you have that sweet in Bulgaria, Simply Wonderfuls? I mean here in Lithuania, Simply Wonderfuls? You don't have any Simply Wonderfuls here. You don't have Simply Wonderfuls? Huh? They do have it. Maybe you don't know, but it's a different name. It's made with powdered milk and powdered sugar and butter. You don't have that sweet here. Someone has to show you. They have the sweet. Mataji says it is here. So anyway, the old days of ISKCON, this used to be our program. We would go out on the street and give out Simply Wonderfuls. So, one of my godbrothers, Nanda Kishore Prabhu, he asked Srila Prabhupada in the class, Srila Prabhupada, what happens when you give somebody a Simply Wonderful on the street? Srila Prabhupada said he will eat that wonderful sweet, and he will come to your temple, and he will become Simply Wonderful. So go on distributing those Simply Wonderfuls. Prabhupada said, Krishna is Simply Wonderful. This process of Krishna consciousness is simply wonderful. And then very mercifully he said, and you all are simply wonderful. And then one godbrother said, Prabhupada is simply wonderful. And Prabhupada said, that's all right, have kirtan. So, we are meant to flood the world with the simply wonderful Krishna consciousness. Stuff their bellies full of one simply wonderful Krishna prasadam. Stuff their ears full of simply wonderful Krishna katha. Stuff their bellies and stuff their brains with Krishna consciousness. This is our Krishna consciousness movement. We want everyone to be stuffed with the real stuff. Krishna consciousness. You know what stuff means?
Okay.
Do you know why? You want them to be stuffed with the real stuff? Because without Krishna consciousness, what are you? Do you know what you are without Krishna consciousness? Does anyone know what you are? Zero? Huh?
Two-legged
animal. Yes, these are good answers. Without Krishna consciousness, you are dead. That's all, you're a dead man. The whole world is dead. The whole planet is like a big graveyard. Every house is like a tombstone. You know, in the cemetery they have the tombstones. Every house is like a tombstone. And inside the grave, the family is living in a state of death. So our program is to resurrect the dead. Our program is to bring the dead people back to life by giving them Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. This will bring the whole world back to life. Therefore, we must flood this entire planet with Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Yes.
May you tell his story about Krishna?
A story about Krishna? There's so many wonderful stories about Krishna. Do you know stories about Krishna? Yes. When Krishna was playing in the forest with his cowherd boyfriends, this huge demon, Agasur, he planted himself on the pathway. He wanted to bring death to all the Vrijavasis. And he figured that if I can kill Krishna and the cowherd boys, then because of the loving affection of everyone else, everyone will die. So he nonchalantly planted himself on the pathway. Making like he was a mountain cave. Hoping the cowherd boys would come. We'd see, oh, here's a cave. We've never explored this cave before. Let's check it out. His strategy worked. His strategy was effective. As he planted himself there as a huge mountain cave. The cowherd boys indeed became very curious. And with great bliss they marched into his mouth. Krishna was still standing on the outside. He says, all my cowherd boyfriends, they just walked into the mouth of this big serpent. Prabhupada explains. And this is amazing. This is one of Krishna's amazing pastimes. Krishna became bewildered. Prabhupada said he became momentarily aggrieved. He didn't know what to do. But he thought for a minute. And he figured out what to do. He also went walking into Agasura's mouth. Of course, it wasn't an easy thing to walk into his mouth, you know. Because there was a very... Have you ever smelled rotten fish? Sometimes at our Juhu temple in Bombay, the wind comes from the beach side where there's all these rotten fish. It's the most horrible stench. So there was this horrible... I mean, he really had bad breath. Prabhupada explains it was the smell of the intestines. Oh, it was horrible. The intestine smell was somehow oozing up through his belly and coming out of his mouth. But in spite of the horrible stink, Krishna had to save his cowherd boyfriends. Because they now were in the belly of Agasur. Somehow he had to rescue his boyfriend. Krishna was very, very dedicated to the cowherd boys. Do you know why Krishna is so dedicated to the cowherd boys? Because the cowherd boys are so dedicated to him. Krishna reciprocates the love of his devotees. So Krishna went through that horrible stinky mouth into that horrible stinky belly, and he expanded himself and he burst through that demon. That demon was killed actually by Krishna's expansion. And all the cowherd boys came marching out in great joy. Krishna did it again. Another wonderful pastime of our wonderful boyfriend Krishna. We don't know who he is. Whether he's some powerful demigod, we don't know. But we know he's the most amazing boy we've ever known. So these were regular daily affairs in Vrindavan. Another day, another demon. And they would come home every night and they would say, Mataji, Mataji. We were in the Vrindavan forest today. And this big, huge demon came, Mataji. This huge demon came. And Krishna killed him. And the mother thought, all these boys, they make up all these stories about Krishna. Boys will be boys. They make up all these tall tales about Krishna. He's just an ordinary boy like everyone else. Why did they make all these stories up about him? But it was true. Every day these demons would come and Krishna would have the most amazing pastime to kill the demon. Until finally one day all the demons were killed off. And you know, there was one demon left. That's right. It was the demon who was sending the demons. Now it was time to go and get that rascal. That's another story. Any other questions? Yeah?
Without initiation.
C- Can you come home to Krishna without initiation? Here, Krishna has given the, you want to give it in the local language, the question. Krishna has given, has answered your, Krishna has personally answered your question in the Adi Purana. In a conversation he was having with Arjuna. Ye me bhakta jana parta, na me bhaktaschate jana, mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. You know the Sanskrit? No, okay. We will translate then. Krishna says, one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my real devotee. So it doesn't matter how many times you chant Hare Krishna. It doesn't matter how many times you bow down to Krishna. It doesn't matter how much service you render to Krishna. If you're not the devotee of his devotee, you are nowhere. Therefore, you must surrender to Krishna's devotee. And that surrendering process is known as initiation. Otherwise, you will stay in the cycle of birth and death for millions of lifetimes. Questions? Does initiation automatically make one a devotee? Krishna said, one must be the devotee of my devotee. It's not some simple thing that you just sit for your initiation and now you're automatically the devotee of the devotee. There's a name for that philosophy. Do you know what it's called? Christianity. All you have to do is accept Jesus and then you can do any damn nonsense you want because you're saved. All I have to do is get my diksha and then I can do whatever I want because I'm saved by the mercy of my guru. That is called cheating. And Krishna does not accept cheaters. One has to genuinely serve the orders of one's spiritual master. That is the real meaning of initiation. Srila Prabhupada personally instructed me in this regard. He said, disciple means discipline. If the disciple does not discipline himself or herself, then he or she is not a disciple. It doesn't matter if they have diksha or not. So the answer is the ceremony doesn't make you a devotee. Keeping the vows you made at the ceremony, that makes you a devotee. Does that answer your question? Okay, next question, Rupanuga.
How can we to render the best service for our Shiva Guru?
The best way, the way to render the best service to your spiritual master is whatever first, the first principle is, step number one is whatever order he has given you, carry it out to the best of your ability. That makes you a second class devotee. But first class position is to understand what the spiritual master needs even without being told. Become so dedicated to your spiritual master that even without being told, you know what service he needs to be done. For himself personally, as well as what is his mission. His mission is to deliver the fallen conditioned souls of this planet. Therefore, the best service is to be fully absorbed in saving the fallen conditioned souls of this planet by preaching with great enthusiasm, determination, and patience. Prabhupada actually said, one who is engaged in preaching, he is my personal servant. So if one is always preaching and pushing for this movement, then he is rendering the best personal service to his spiritual master. Does that answer your question?
He said that he is not. How can he preach? Because he is not perfect in this knowledge.
Whatever you have realized about Krishna, that much you preach. And then Krishna will give you more realization. And if you share that realization with others, then Krishna will give you more realization. Whatever you have realized, that much you must propagate. And then Krishna will keep supplying you with more and more realizations. Therefore, preaching is the most powerful means of studying the science of Krishna consciousness. Because if you're preaching, the super soul sits in your heart, instructing you how to preach. You walk up to somebody on the street with a book and you don't know what to say to that person. But the super soul gives you the words to say and they take the book. Or you're giving a lecture and you have no idea, what am I going to say during this lecture today? But the super soul gives you exactly what to say and you just say what you're supposed to say. Like a puppet. But not blindly, with realization. Does that answer your question? Yes.
Ar mokytas gali kokį nors rekomenduoti metodą, kuris padėtų pasitikrinti, ar žmogus jau subrendęs iniciacijai, reiškia, ir metodą, reiškia, kaip pasirinkti dvasinį mokytą?
Ir kaip pasirinkti
kaip reiškia, metodą pasitikrinti dėl iniciacijos, kad jau esi
subrendęs? May recommend any method for one who can check if he is ready for initiation and how can he choose a guru.
Yes. If you're chanting 16 rounds regularly and following our four legged principles, at least for 6 months.
Jeigu bent 6 mėnesius kartu 16 ratų kiekvieną dieną ir laikotės keturių principų.
Are you doing that? You've been chanting 16 rounds and following the four principles for at least 6 months?
Ar 6 mėnesius jau laikotės principų ir kartuoti 16 ratų?
Man atrodo, 2 metai.
16 ratų, taip?
Daugiau gal kartais.
Two years, yes. All right. Then you can choose. I would like to take shelter of this person so that I can get ready to be initiated by him. You can do that. Now you can do that at this time. So how will you choose which? It's like in ISKCON. There are so many bona fide gurus in ISKCON. So how will you choose which one?
Kaip išsirinkti, kuris vienas tinka?
It's not always an easy decision. There's so many wonderful gurus in ISKCON. They're all bona fide, they're all qualified to take you back to Godhead, so which one will you choose? That's quite a... It's not always an easy decision. Of course, when I joined the movement, it was very easy to make the decision. Because Prabhupada was the only initiating guru. Made it very easy. So what do you do now? It's like, you know, it used to be ISKCON was like just walking into a shop and buying your goods and moving on. But now ISKCON is a big, huge shopping mall, you see. There's maybe 100 different shops, you know, in the mall. Which one will you shop in? The Sankarshan Das Adhikari shop, or you go to another, which shop will you shop in? Well, the good news is this. To help you over this confusing situation. Krishna is in your heart and Krishna will help you. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 10, verse number 10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam prittipurvakam didami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upayantite. Krishna says, for those who were constantly devoted and worship me with love. I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So what is the most important step for coming to Krishna? Initiation. Diksha. That's the most important step by which one comes to Krishna. So Krishna says, if you're very devoted to me, then I will tell you who is your guru. Isn't that make it easy? You just have to be very devoted to Krishna, then the super soul will say, here he is. Now you're in the presence of your spiritual master. You won't have to guess. You will know it. The super soul will say, this is the one. Here he is. Here he is. This is the one. You have now met your eternal spiritual master. Actually, there's a nice example in this connection. Our Srila Prabhupada. He wasn't thinking to get initiated or to accept a guru. He was thinking of managing Dr. Bose's chemical factory in a very expert way, that's all. Of course, it is a pastime. In his heart, he was always a devotee, but externally, he was absorbed in managing Dr. Bose's chemical factory. And then, one day, one of his friends, Narendranath Malik, he came, he said, Abhai, there is a sadhu visiting from Mayapur. You must come and hear this sadhu. He is speaking at Ulta Danga. You must come, Abhai, and hear this great sadhu, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Actually, amongst his friends, Srila Prabhupada, he was always considered the leader. If he said something was good, then they would all say, oh, if Abhai thinks it's good, then it must be good. So they wanted to get Abhai Charan Day's opinion about this saintly man, this sadhu from Mayapur. They wanted his opinion, what Abhai thought of him.
Ir jie pakvietė ir norėjo, kad Bahavis nuėtų pažiūrėti ir pasakyti kokioje nuomonė apie šitą šventąjį.
So, he didn't want to go. He says, yeah, yeah, I've heard so many sadhus, so-called sadhus. They're just trying to make a buck in the name of being a sadhu, that's all. He didn't have much faith in these sadhus. He saw they were cheating, wearing saffron for the purpose of getting some dakshina, that's all. But his friend Narendranath insisted, no, Abba, you must come, you must come. Srila Prabhupada said, practically he dragged me. But as soon as he got there, as soon as he walked into the room, he received an order from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. You are educated in English, you must spread this Krishna consciousness movement in the English language. So what was his first reaction? Who will hear your Chaitanya's message? We are a dependent nation.
Kas išgirs jūsų Čaitanijos, reiškia, žinia, mes gi nepriklausoma šalis.
No one's going to listen to us.
Niekas neklausys mūsų.
We're the slaves of the British.
Mes esame Britų vergai.
If we want someone to listen to us, first we must get the British out of India.
Ir jeigu norim, kad mūsų kas nors klausytų, mes turim, reiškia, pirma išvyti Britus iš Indijos.
But Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur convinced him this has nothing to do with politics. The most urgent need of the world is to immediately push forward the message of Krishna. So just by hearing these words of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Abhaicharan Day, who became our Srila Prabhupada, he immediately understood, yes, this is my spiritual master. The super soul within the heart of Srila Prabhupada told him, yes, here is your spiritual master. So when you are ready, when you are fully ready to actually surrender completely to Krishna, when you're serious to surrender to Krishna, you've really decided not to play around in the misery any longer, then Krishna will send your spiritual master to you. You won't have to look for him. You will say, oh, Krishna is so kind, he has sent my spiritual master. Now I simply must surrender at his lotus feet. Does that answer your question? Jai. May Krishna bless you that you can find your guru as soon as possible. Here to help you take this garland. Okay, any other questions?
Yes.
What is the last story about the demons? The last one.
Mm-hmm.
May you tell?
Oh, the other story?
About the last demon.
The last one?
Demon, yes.
It's a heavy story. Any other philosophical questions?
Gal turi kas nors prieštai filosofinį klausimą?
Not doing.
And you said they are all dead bodies, so why doesn't Krishna mention?
Yes, she's asking. You understand the question?
Ir jisai paprašė, kad atiduodo tos drabužius jam ir jo draugam, bet tasai skalbėjas atsisakė to tai padaryti ir už tai Krišna jam nukirto galvą. Ir man čia klausė, kad sako, dabar šitam pasaulyje tiek daug tokių demonų mažų ir panašiai, kurie irgi neatiduoda Krišnai tai, kas jam priklauso. Ir kodėl Krišna jų nenužudo?
Actually, they don't have to be killed because they're already dead.
Numirusi nužudyti neįmanoma.
Ha? Simply a show of life. It's not real life. Just like you can take a corpse and you can, you know. I remember one time I was walking through a shopping mall in Miami, Florida. And I had a vision. All these people, you know, walking up and down. Do you know what a mannequin is? They use it in the store, you know, to display the clothes. They have a form of a woman, they put the clothing on it in the store window. It's called a mannequin. So I had a vision. These are all just mannequins moving up and down the shopping mall. They're not really living people. They're just dead corpses being manipulated by the mode, like puppets being manipulated up and down the shopping mall. So actually, they're already dead. But in this age, we want to kill them full. And so they can have a new life. So our weapon is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. By this Hare Krishna mantra, we will kill the demoniac mentality. That is covering the pure bhakti there deep within their heart. Actually, everyone is a pure devotee. But they are simply covered by demoniac mentality. So by the power of this Hare Krishna movement, the demoniac mentality will be killed. And everyone will become devotees. Therefore, we must preach. We must spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over Kaunas, all over Lithuania, all over the Baltic region, all over Europe, all over the planet Earth. And in the future, we must have interplanetary Sankirtan. Traveling Sankirtan all over the universe. But first, let's make the Earth Krishna
conscious.
And then we'll think about interplanetary Sankirtan. Any other questions? So I'll just briefly, he asked question. Of course, Mataji actually partially answered your question. Krishna then went to Mathura to wipe out the demon who was sending all the demons. King Kamsa. Of course, he not only killed King Kamsa, but he also killed all those who were acting on behalf of King Kamsa. As Mataji pointed out, he killed the king's washerman also. You know that? Yes. Actually, just imagine what an amazing movie it would make, you see. Just imagine, just for example, just imagine some boy grows up on a farm out in the remote part of Lithuania. And he's never seen the big city before. Kaunas or Vilnius. He's never seen, you know, a skyscraper. He's never seen, you know, a city street. He's always been out in the village where there's only a dirt road and some trees. And the first time he comes into Kaunas, he's just amazed. He's looking around all these stores and the billboards and the neon lights, and he's just amazed to see everything. So Krishna and the cowherd boys, they never seen the big city, you see. And now they've come walking into Mathura to check it out. Now the ordinary farm boy, Lithuanian farm boy, he'd be a little bit shy. He comes in, he's a little nervous. He's not used to traffic, and he sees the traffic lights. He's kind of nervous, you see. But Krishna is not at all nervous. He owns the whole universe. So when he comes walking into Mathura with his cowherd boyfriends, he's walking down the street like he owns the whole city. And that's why when he sees the washerman with all these fancy clothes of the king, see? Talk about opulent outfits. Very opulent outfits. Clothes? Very opulent royal garments. So he's thinking, well, here we are, you know, me and my cowherd boyfriends, we're just wearing simple village garb, and we're in the big city now. We really should be wearing some really, you know, opulent clothing, like this clothing the washerman has. We should be wearing this. So he told the washerman, okay, give the clothes to me and my cowherd boyfriends. The washerman said, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? This belongs to the king. This is a great offense. You can't ask for the king's clothes. You know what Krishna did? He said, what do you mean? He went, whap, and he cut off his head. And they grabbed all the clothes and they dressed up in the king's clothes and they went walking down the street to check out the city. In their new fancy clothes, you see. So, that's enough Leela for now. But just imagine what a great movie would make, you know. Krishna walking down the street in the king's clothes all decked out, checking out the city, you know. And the cowherd boyfriend's all fired up. They never wore such fancy clothes in their whole life. Now they're really decked out, really nice, the fanciest clothes, you know. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Krishna katha, fill the ears with nectar ki jai. So tonight there'll be a lecture here?
No, it's okay. Public.
Public hall. Where will it be? Tell everyone.
Šiandien bus vieša paskaita, šakiuose, šakių...